The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out the bad seed, the broken in the bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad letters, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Farrell Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny came over and stole my 22 Jack Sativa when she was drinking shots of JMO in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion, shake it up, should do, but all my friends that come around, flats and flats and party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown with a mess, this town's a tatter, my brain splattered all over Manhattan, should be check out. Ooh. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High tonight. And we got a lot of action going on. Obviously, I'm watching the Yankees and Rays game. That has been intense. The Yankees got back in the game. They were down 5-1, but Stanton hit his second home run of the game. Giancarlo Stanton, 2 home runs. And the second one, a 3-run shot. Over 450 feet, just gigantic moonshots he's just hitting out tonight. And it's 5-4 Rays, and they're going to the bottom of the fifth at Petco. Rays up a run. Padres and Dodgers into the second inning in game one of the DS there. The Dodgers scoreless with the Padres right now, top of the second already today. The Braves blew out the Marlins 9-5. I gave you that one. And the Astros 5-2 over the A's. I gave you that one. Hitting both games. Astros up 2-0 in that series. Braves up 1-0 in that DS in the National League. Going on right now, game 40 NBA Finals. The Lakers lead the Heat 46-45 with about a minute and a half left before the half.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. So at the half, it's 49-47 Lakers. They lead it. Davis has 8. LeBron has 8. Caldwell Pope has 10. Green has 8. Caruso has 7. That's basically it. Kuzma, 5. And then on the other side, Butler with 13 leading the way. Bam has 9. Duncan Robinson has 9. Hero Sandwich, 7. Nunn, the other guard, 6. Kendrick Nunn, 6. Iggy's got 3. So once again, Butler doing it, 13-2-2. Bam's 9-4-1. Bam's played 15 minutes. So he's back at the very least. The Dragon Dragic tried to warm up. It obviously wasn't good enough to go. So he's not playing again in this game. The Lakers shot 45%, 43% from downtown. And the Heat 42% and a miserable 26% from downtown. So there you go. As far as the baseball, Rays 5-4 in the fifth. Runner on first, nobody out. Ottavino pitching for the Yankees. Padres, Dodgers, runner at first, top of the second, one out, scoreless. So there you go. And I got to tell you, Carver High, I cannot believe how locked in Stanton is. Now, I don't deny saying the things I've said about him in the past at all, that he's always injured. I mean, this guy, he misses more time than anyone, right? Like, he's the king of missing games on the Yankees, without a doubt. And then I'd say Judge is second. And I think the both of them miss more than anybody. But then they show up now in the playoffs and they're good to go, right? It makes you wonder, how is it that they never play when it doesn't matter? They literally never play. And then all of a sudden they're good to go. And then on top of that, the cherry on the cake is that Stanton has hit home runs now in 4 straight playoff games, and he hit 2 tonight. The second one was over 450 foot. It was a 3-run blast, and the other one was a solo shot. The guy's just absolutely raking right now. It must look like a grapefruit to him, Carver High. Can you believe the streak that he's on right now, the way he's seeing the pitch and just driving it out of the ballpark? It's crazy.
Yeah, it really is right now, Scotty. He's so locked in at the plate, and this is what a healthy Giancarlo Stanton can do, and we just never see him healthy, and that's why you never get to see him go on streaks like this. I mean, he had rushes like this on the Marlins those years that he hit 50 plus homers. I mean, he would get on rushes where he'd hit 7, 8, 9 homers over a 2-week span. And he just hasn't been healthy enough with the Yankees to do that. But I saw a very interesting stat tonight, because a lot of people like to get on him, as we know, when it comes to hitting home runs for the Yankees in the postseason. He's got 7 homers now in 13 playoff games with the Yankees. I'd say that's pretty good. 7 homers in 13 playoff games. A-Rod had 10 in 61.
That's crazy. So in 13, he's got 10?
In 13, he's at 7. He has 7 home runs in 13 playoff games as a Yankee. A-Rod had 10 homers in 61
10 in 61. All right, I see where the 10 was coming from. All right, so you're telling me Stan's at 7 already?
Yeah, and this is his 4th game in a row, obviously, with 2 tonight. So he's hit 5 of them here in this playoffs.
That's crazy. So do you realize that they are, you know, they were down 5-1. And now they're down 5-4. They're going to the 6th. And they have a chance to win this game. And they are completely in this game. They're going to have several more at-bats. And the way they've been hitting and raking and scoring runs, one run is not safe for the Rays. It's not a safe lead, in my opinion. Carver Hyde, what do you think of their chance to steal this game tonight, down 5-1, come all the way back because of the Stanton home run, and then steal it?
They absolutely can still win this game tonight. What worries me, Scotty, is obviously, you know, on the other side of the coin, there's still a lot of outs that the Yankees have to get. And listen, they did what they did. Their, you know, their analytics stuff, pitching Garcia for one inning and then, you know, bringing Happ in, it didn't work out for him because Happ stinks. It just didn't work. So now you're in a spot where you're using Ottavino right now, who has not been good for you. You still have a lot of outs that you have to get. You know you're going to see Loaisiga now. You saw how bad he was against the Indians last week. So this is it. I mean, you can't start using – I mean, they're not going to bring Green Britton in the fifth inning here, in the sixth inning. They need – somebody's going to have to get outs for the Yankees to keep this at five and allow that offense to tie it and or go ahead in this game.
It really is. It's hard for me to switch over, but I just did, to the Padres and Dodgers. I'm glad I did. Runners at first and second, one out, top of the second, Padres up and trying to get to Buehler. No score in this game one of the division series. How good do you think this will be? Do you think it'll get crazy? Do you think it'll be insane? Do you think it'll be close? Do you think it'll be all Dodgers? Do you think the Padres can beat them? What do you think?
I think the Padres will definitely win at least one game in this series. They're gonna show up. They're not gonna get swept. I think that they're definitely going to be a presence. But at the end of the day, I think the Dodgers will win. I would love to see San Diego win. I'd love it. But I think that at the end of the day, the Dodgers will find a way to win this series.
Do you think they can get to Buehler? Now they got the bases loaded with one out. He just walked.
And this is what, in the second, Saxful, second inning?
Second inning, and he's in all kinds of trouble. He's already thrown 42 pitches.
How about that?
So he's not going to last.
No, he is not.
Not the way they manage now. Not the way they'll give him the hook. What did you think of Davey Garcia, that he pitched one inning and they sat him?
Well, I don't like it. I would have rather try to get as much out of Garcia as you could. They clearly went into today. They knew all day he was only going to pitch one inning because they had Happ warming up in the first inning. They had Happ getting ready to go in inning number two. I didn't like it. Here's my problem. What are you doing now in game four? Are you doing the same thing? You starting Garcia again because he pitched one inning? Who's pitching that game in game four if there is one? Because Tanaka's pitching tomorrow. Who's pitching that game? Is it Jordan Montgomery, I guess? I guess you're going to throw Montgomery out there? That's got to be the option, I would have to believe.
Why would you, but, you know, if you're only going to let him pitch one inning, what are you going to send him back out there for one inning in game four? Or do you start Montgomery instead? And then they obviously are saving Cole for game five.
Yeah, that's what they're doing. So they're going to need arms. And here we go. Loaisiga comes in. And now he didn't put the guy on base. Ottavino did, but first batter for Loaisiga, a base hit, and a run comes in. So 6-4 now.
Oh, God. He is just absolutely a sieve. I didn't even see it because I'm watching the Padres. But I knew that right when you said Loaisiga, the first thing I thought of was runs. There comes some runs. You got to admit, it's just that's exactly what happens when he pitches, right? So. Now I'm watching this guy with the bases loaded, see if Buehler, because he just threw one down in the ankles, so he's still all over the place. He's got Profar up, 1-1 count, but, I mean, when he misses, he's missing badly. I mean, he's all over the place. He's down in the feet. He's up and in. He's outside. He's everywhere. And they got him absolutely loaded up. Another one inside, 2-1. So this guy's struggling. He's at 45 pitches and struggling. And then all it takes to open up this can is just get some wood on it and get it out into the outfield. Get a hit. Just get the ball in play, get a hit, and you're going to get two in automatic. Profar just needs to get wood on this. That's all there is to it. Swing and a miss, though, on a low fastball. So we're going to keep our eyes on this one. And then we have a lot going on tonight. Later this hour, Bill Huber from SI Packer Central will talk about Aaron Rodgers, everything going on with the undefeated Packers. So Profar, 2-2 count. We'll keep our eyes on it for you.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Huge strikeout for Buehler on Grisham with the bases loaded to end the top of the second. And, I mean, that's enormous because it was a 3-0 count. And then he got him swinging on a high fastball. You know, they hit 304 on Buehler after he throws 50 pitches, which is basically where he is right now. So teams light him up after he throws 50. And we'll see if that holds any water here going forward. But he was in all kinds of problems right there in the second, but still scoreless. Is that the one they're playing at Globe Life? Is that where they're playing that series, Carver High? So that's where the is that where they're going to have the NLCS and the World Series? Or is it somewhere? Or no, it's Petco. Petco's the NLCS Series at Globe Life.
No, the NLCS and the World Series are at Globe Life. So
they're both there?
So the Dodgers would stay at Globe Life the whole way. They play this series against the Padres there. The NLCS would be there, and the World Series would be there. The only thing at Petco is Yankees-Rays, and then the ALCS is at Petco.
Oh, so that's where the other championship series is at Petco.
Yes, so the winner of Yankees-Rays would stay there, obviously, and then the winner of the A's and Astros would go down to San Diego and play them.
And after you saw the Astros, you know, they're up 2-0 now. They've been just crushing the ball, and they've been getting pitching. After you saw that, do you think they sweep the A's and go right into the ALCS?
I think that the A's will have a little life tomorrow. I think they'll win a game.
So you think they'll answer the challenge?
I don't think they'll win the series. They will not win the series, but I think that they will win a game tomorrow.
All right. So if the Yankees were to come back from this 6-4 deficit in this game and win the game somehow, do you think they would sweep tomorrow?
No, I do not.
You don't think that they would do it either?
No.
So you think that no matter what, if they stay as hot as they are and they come back in this game and win, that they'll cool off overnight and the Rays will stay alive?
I mean, look, they do have Tanaka going tomorrow, and we know Tanaka's track record, aside from last week in Cleveland, of how well he can pitch in the playoffs. So it wouldn't shock me, obviously, if the Yankees swept them, but, you know. It's going to depend on what happens here tonight. Who do the Yankees use tonight to win this game? Who's going to throw more? Who's going to get the rest of these outs for both sides? I think that that's such a key thing in this Yankee Rays series.
So it comes down to which bullpen can close the door and which one melts down.
That's it. And how much you use those arms to get the win. Because with no days off now, and you're going to be right back at it tomorrow and the next day, because if the Rays win tonight, then there's guaranteed there's going to be at least two more days because you're going to go to game 4 and you're not having an off day. So all these arms and all these pitches that you're using, they stack up. And the Yankees get a leadoff walk here in the 6th as Hicks, and immediately Cash goes to take Glass now out after the walk.
Right. And that, but he threw 93 pitches and he walks to open the inning. Hicks is on first, nobody out, and they go to the bullpen. Finally, that's what they needed was, in my opinion, the Rays took advantage of Glasnow pitching that deep into the game and having thrown that many pitches. Whereas I got to tell you, the kid came out, he gave up a home run, right, to the Cuban, and the guy, he's down one zip, they tie it with a Stanton home run, and they take him out. I wanted to see the kid pitch because he was throwing some nasty curveballs, and his fastball's got life to it. He's definitely got movement. He's got a delivery that's, he kind of hides the pitch when he turns his whole body, and he thinks he's Pedro Martinez, and then you only let him pitch three batters and you yank him. Why would you do that to that kid? Is that not troubling to you at all? That they just let him pitch the first inning and then they said, okay, thanks, sit down and eat some sunflower seeds, even though that's illegal now too. But I would have let the kid pitch because J.A. Happ was, and it's easy to second guess, but he's been terrible as a Yankee to begin with. I know he's been better lately. He's been better lately over the last 3 weeks, but overall, nobody cares about him.
He stinks. He stinks. And look, here's the thing tonight with the Rays. Last night, the Rays didn't really use their top-end guys out of the bullpen, whereas the Yankees did because they had that lead. So you saw Green, you saw Britton, and you were going to see Chapman before the Yankees blew it open in the ninth inning. Tonight, the Rays now, with this lead in the sixth inning, they got enough distance from Glass now where now the Rays can come at you with their best arms to try to finish this game off. And one thing that will matter tomorrow is, Scotty, they might not have those guys tomorrow or not be able to go as long with those guys. That's why the no days off is very tricky here.
I agree with you that the no days off makes it all about managing those arms and those pitches and those innings and everything else. But
so we talked about this on Coast to Coast this afternoon on the TV show. We said Padres could be making a big mistake throwing Clevinger in that game tonight, right? And Clevinger leaving the game in the bottom of the second inning.
And why is he leaving the game? Did he have problems? Did he have discomfort?
I mean, I don't have the game on in front of me, but he threw two pitches and they took him out against this batter that's up right now. So I would have to assume something started to hurt.
Well, did I not say that they'll be lucky if this guy doesn't blow his elbow out in this start tonight? Because he had a bad elbow 3 weeks ago. Now all of a sudden he's pitching game one and I they risked him. They actually threw him out there thinking that he was okay and that his elbow was fine. Does it sound to you like it's fine now? You're the one that just told me that he's out.
Yeah, he's out of the game. And they said for the last 2 weeks, every time he threw a bullpen, he doesn't really look, doesn't feel right. We don't want to push him. All right, well, you pushed him. And now who knows, you know?
Next thing you'll be hearing about is that he's going to have Tommy John surgery.
Of course. And then that's unfortunate, but it, you know, I'm sure it's part of him telling them I'm good. You know, the player has to take a little bit of, you know, the player's always going to tell you he's good to go. Right. I mean, there's a few guys we could think of, but it's very rare that a player is going to come out and say, you know, no, I don't want to pitch. They're always going to want to pitch. If you don't think that the diagnosis is good or you're watching him throw in the bullpen and you're just going by what he's telling you, you're never going to get the 100% truth from the player.
You don't get a straight answer.
Sometimes you have to step in and protect that asset that you just traded for. And say, listen, we want to win this, obviously. We want to beat the Dodgers, but we also want to have you for the next 2 years healthy.
Yeah, and then I think it was crazy to put him out there. And then it, at some level, doesn't it catch up with him? No Clevinger, no Lamet. And they literally, what do they have, Paddock?
Against that lineup? I mean, let's be fair. Now, the Cardinals had some guys that could hit, but we know the bottom of that Cardinal lineup was a little suspect. The Dodgers come at you. It's like the Yankees. They come at you 1 through 9, and there's so much length. And every time you turn around, there's another guy up who can hurt you. And that's going to be hard to get through this series without those guys.
Yeah, they're dangerous. And I, you know, there's really no one in that. We used to say Goldschmidt and kind of Yachty Molina, but I'm not afraid of Yachty or Molina. Like, you know, shaking in my boots when he comes to the plate because and I'm going to think about putting him on because I don't want him to kill me with his bat. I never think that. I pitch to that guy every time. I mean, I think he's solid, but I don't think he's anything to fear. So the rest of that lineup they had was trash, bottom line. The only thing I was going on with them is their history. They always find a way to get to the LCS and to the World Series. It's just unbelievable what they've done as a franchise. They always seem to get lucky in the playoffs. I don't even care if they're good. They always end up in the World Series. And it happens all the time. So I was surprised that they went so kind of, they were feeble. They went limp against the Padres. I didn't think they really did anything. You know, they had a 4-0 lead. They lost that game. Is there anything worse than seeing teams with big leads and they blow them and lose the game? I mean, honestly, it's like watching the Falcons in the NFL blow leads. At least last night, they didn't have a lead. They just lost flat out to the Packers. We're going to talk to Bill Huber from SI's Packer Central and get into some of their scene. They're obviously playing great football. They're in a great position right now. There's a lot of people. We talked about it today on Coast to Coast that they're, you know, I think the Packers and Seattle are the teams in the NFC. Would you argue with that, Carver High?
I would not argue with that at this point. They clearly are the two teams that look the best in the NFC. There's no doubt. I think Seattle's defense here and there has been a little suspect. They've obviously been outscoring their opponents. But I think the Packers and the Seahawks, without question, the best so far in the NFC.
Do you think it's because Adams has a groin problem and he leaves his pre-rolled joints in his photos that he does for social media is the reason that the Seahawks defense is failing?
Anything is possible, I suppose.
Could you believe that? That there was a picture of a big hoagie in the ashtray underneath him when he was doing the photo with the helmet on? How funny is that?
Deletes it and puts it back up without it in there. I mean, come on, dude.
It's too late, bro. Now everyone knows he likes to snap pre-rolled hoagies. He had it going. Little sativa going the 22 jack. Check out. Ooh. All right, we'll talk to Bill Huber next. Dodgers have a runner on. Still no score, though. Padres and Dodgers. Got our eyes on the Yankees Rays as well. All right, Pharrell on the bench. Right now, Lakers up 4, make it 3 after a Duncan Robinson 3. Under 6 left in the third, 63-60, Lakers. Bill Huber is with Packer Central, SI. Obviously, the Packers are just killing it lately. And they won again last night, beating the Falcons, and I thought handily. And let's talk to Bill now about everything going on with the Pack. They got a lot happening, and they look fantastic. How you doing, Bill?
I'm great. How about you?
Hanging in. So let me ask you, you know, Rodgers, 52 touchdowns, no picks. That's the pace he's on right now. That's the tear that he's been on. And he is just lighting it up. And you know, we've seen it before where he's just so special and incredible. But it seems like he really is doing better with LaFleur than he did with McCarthy, even though he did great with McCarthy, too.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this, you know, back, you know, a year ago or so, you know, 16 months ago when they hired him. You know, there was so much national conjecture about how these two were going to get along. I just thought it was all kind of silliness. Rodgers has totally bought into this from the get-go, and I'm sure I shared this story with you too. Back in 2018, it was Rams Vikings on a Thursday night. You know, obviously the Packers have had a lot of battles with the Vikings, and you know every battle against that defense was just such a struggle because Zimmer's defense is so good. Well, here they are on Thursday night, and the Rams, you know, scored like 50 on the Vikings, you know, whatever, 42, whatever it was. They just like shredded this defense. It caught everyone's attention in the Packers locker room. It's like, whoa. So, I mean, Rodgers was all in on this, and obviously the last year was a struggle, but, you know, this offseason, you know, they didn't get to practice, but all this offseason Zoom stuff between LaFleur and Rodgers and offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett and quarterbacks coach Luke Getsy, they really spent the offseason just hashing out all these things, and they are just, I mean, all four games this year, Rodgers comes in and talks about the play calling and the flow, and he credits LaFleur after every game. It's amazing. Last night's game, they had Marquez Valdes-Scantling at receiver. He's a fifth-round pick, kind of up and down. They had Darius Shepherd with one career catch. They had Malik Taylor with no career catches, and Tyler Irvin, who's a lifelong running back. Those were the receivers last night, and their tight end was a former college quarterback. They shredded those guys. Now, the Falcons' defense sucks, but, I mean, they were just, it was just, they're unstoppable with a bunch of, you know, relatively speaking, a bunch of relative nobodies out there. It made no difference because Rodgers and LaFleur are like of this one mind, and they just destroyed those guys last night. It was amazing. I picked the Falcons to win easily last night. It shows what I know.
Well, you know, I had the Packers, and I laid the points, and they covered. I have to ask you, when he throws to all these no-names, they are not no-names for long. He's like a, you know, star maker. The guy will turn anybody into a star. Like Lazard was starting to get, you know, real popular in a hurry with the game he had, and then he got injured. He's out. But it doesn't matter who they put in there. It seems like they could bring the milkman in, and the milkman would have a big game. The guy, Rodgers, just throws it to, you know, guys, and the balls are so perfect. You're like, you know, the Brady girl when she got pelted in the nose in the Brady Bunch. I mean, this guy's going to – he's going to – you know what I mean? Like, Rodgers is going to break your nose. Yeah. He just throws the ball perfect every time, right where you need it. And if you're not awake, you're going to get your nose broken.
Yeah, that's what the great quarterbacks do, right? I mean, we've seen Brady – I mean, look, for a lot of Brady's years in New England, I mean, he was thrown to the milkman, wasn't he? I mean, God bless Julian Edelman and those guys, but they weren't exactly – star receivers. They were stars because Tom Brady was awesome. You know, this is what the great ones do. It's why the quarterbacks make so much money, because they're expected to lift everybody up. Rodgers has been exceptional. Where, I mean, he was inaccurate. There were times last year that, I mean, he would throw the ball and say, "Man, where the hell is that one going?" He told me at one point during training camp. See, I mean, he got rolling in training camp, and I asked him about it, and I just assumed the answer was going to be, "Hey, well, we didn't have off-season practices, Bill," you know, the cliched stuff. And instead, he talks about how he was watching film from 2010, and he picked up on something. And he's never told us what it was, but he picked up on something from 2010 film, and he incorporated in his game. And he's been rolling now for, you know, 6 weeks now. He's just been unconscious. Yeah, you're right. I mean, his accuracy is phenomenal. He's up over 70% right now, and he's been kind of low 60s the last 2-3 years. And again, this is not with Davante Adams last night. Last night with all these guys that nobody other than obviously Packer fans have ever heard of any of these guys, he had 6 incompletions and 4 touchdowns. And I mean, he is on a roll.
I mean, to tell you, this guy Tanyan had a 33.8 PPR fantasy points. That's a record for a Packer tight end ever. Jermichael Finley had the record before, but this guy broke it. I got to be honest with you. I don't think anyone's ever heard of him. Like, that's what's so special about this team. Like, they got all these, it's like we've been saying, no names. And then it won't be that way for long. He's like a dream maker. The guy's making all these people's dreams come true. He's like make a wish. The guy, Rodgers, is just turning everybody into make a wish stories, because everyone's having, like, can you imagine if you're some no name guy, they bring you in off the practice squad because all their guys are injured, and then the next thing you know, you're getting famous, and then all of a sudden you're getting paid. I mean, he is literally the provider. He's like the head of the household.
Yeah, you mentioned Lazard earlier, and he's the perfect case in point. In 2018, he was undrafted out of Iowa State. He was on Jacksonville's practice squad, and Green Bay kind of grabbed him maybe for the last week of the year. They stole him. So here's a guy who was undrafted and a practice squad guy in Jacksonville. to a guy who didn't make the roster last year out of training camp, but ends up becoming their number two guy down the stretch. He had a pretty quality year then. In prime time against the Saints last week, went without Adams, it's 6 for $1.50. You're right. He just turns the way he's playing right now. Again, this is what great quarterbacks do. He just, you know, just give me some guys, give me a week to get on the same page, and boom, there you go.
So what's the deal? They all have to stay in Green Bay because of the COVID. They're like forcing the players, Rodgers and everyone on the team has to stay there. And then like Rodgers and others.
Yep.
So the players are upset about it.
Well, yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I would assume a lot of the veteran guys probably had plans made. I mean, this is not a Green Bay thing. This is a league-wide mandate from the commissioner to, hey, don't screw things up. So this is not just a Green Bay thing, but you know, if you're Devontae Adams and Aaron Rodgers or whoever, it's you've got a few dollars of disposable income, you're out of Dodge, you know. And I mean, who wouldn't be? I mean, it's but yeah, it's the world we're living in, you know. You can't do what you want sometimes. And look, we all understand. Everybody understands. Doesn't mean they're happy, but everybody understands. There's a lot at stake. You got one guy go to a bad beach or a bar in his hometown, whatever the hell it is, and you know the whole season goes to, I almost said a bad word, the whole season goes to pot. You know, so this is what we're living at the moment.
Do you? So now they have a bye until they play at Tampa on the 18th.
Yep, that'll be a good game. Hey, Brady Rodgers. It's amazing. These are obviously the great quarterbacks of their, you know, Breeze too is in that, but. They've barely played each other. You know, back in 2010, Rodgers had a concussion, so he missed that game. So they played in 14, they played in 18. If Brandon Bostic wouldn't have screwed up the onside kick in the 2016 championship game, it'd have been a Patriots-Packers Super Bowl. But these guys have not played very often. It is the two living legend quarterbacks.
Were you surprised that they, you know, lost in the NFC Championship, that they would be? Like I thought they'd drop back a little. I didn't think they were going to be bad. I just thought they'd be like a 10-win team or something at worst. And I still thought, you know, anytime you have Aaron Rodgers, you have a chance to be good. Are you surprised that they've, in my opinion, they look like without a doubt the best team in the NFC. I know all these other teams think they're, you know, in their league, but they're not. I mean, Green Bay is better. And I frankly, I think they're, you know, Seattle, I would put number two, but I'd put the Packers number one, right? At least a quarter of the way through the season.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I think Vegas, actually, I should say, I know Vegas had the over-under at 9, and then they went down to 8.5. I mean, people just had no faith in these guys. And part of it I get, they went 13-3 last year, and they were 8-1 in one score game. So that's hard to replicate. I mean, that's, those games are generally coin flips, and you in Vegas and everybody else expected regression where they won all these close games. You know, everybody knows the draft. They didn't go out and draft for immediate help. They drafted for the future. So I understand the pessimism around the team. But LaFleur and Rodgers talked about this year two thing, which doesn't always pan out. I mean, if you look historically, sometimes year two jumps happen. Sometimes they don't. But it certainly happened here. You know, I think I predicted 10 for the official Sports Illustrated preview package. I think I went with 10-6. Yeah, you know, at this point, shoot, if they don't win 12, I would almost be stunned if they don't win 13 again. They look like the class. You look, every team has a fatal flaw, and their defense isn't very good. Everybody gets it, but they're going to get some guys back healthier. Which should help the run defense. And, you look, if they can stop the run a little bit and then they score so many points, the other team has to throw the ball. And what they can do is they can sack the quarterback, which you saw last night, and they can intercept the football, which they didn't do that last night. But teams that have to throw the ball against them, that is right into their wheelhouse. So if they can stop the run a little bit and if they can keep scoring, that's what this team is built for.
I don't see any flaws at all. So I heard today that they found out that they're not going to allow fans at Lambeau the whole season. Is that about right?
It is indefinite, but they are definitely not allowed for the next game. That's November 1st. I don't know if your listeners know, Green Bay is the hot spot. I mean, look, COVID is meandering throughout this country, and it seems like every city has their time to be the hot spot. And we here in Green Bay, this is our time. They are number one per capita among NFL cities. They might be number one now in the entire country as far as metropolitan areas. It's the way this thing goes. You know, everybody gets their time with it, and this is our time. And I mean, look, you can't put 15, 20,000 people into a stadium during an outbreak. That just seems like going from really bad to infinitely worse. So we'll see. But for now, it is infinite. It is November 1st, and probably reassess from there. So you know what? Maybe if this thing goes away and life returns to normal, and my kids get to go back to school, maybe that'll change. But for now. Empty land. It is so bizarre. I mean, it's just dead quiet in there. And then they score a touchdown, and it's the world's loudest fireworks go off, and it just scares the you know what out of you. It is. I mean, my God, I had to go check myself last night.
Calm down, Billy. Calm down, Billy. I'm worried about you. You got to stay focused. Wear your mask. Stay out of Dodge. Don't go near anyone. Don't even hang out with your family. You need to stay healthy so you can go see the Packers play in the Super Bowl in Tampa in Super Bowl 55. Always good to have you on the bench, Billy. Thanks for coming on tonight and talking about Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. Hopefully their week off won't cool them off and they can get back into a rhythm when they play in Tampa on the 18th. Thanks for coming on the bench, brother.
I appreciate it. Have fun. I always have fun. Thanks a lot.
My man, Billy Huber with SI's Packer Central. Very popular guy on the bench. 71-66, Lakers, buck 45 and rolling left in the third. We got another good one in the NBA Finals. All right, Perrell on the bench. 73-70, Lakers. Tell them what you were saying to me in the break about the Lakers, because I say it all the time, and then when I say it, everybody gets all worked up. And no one wants to hear it, and no one ever talks about it anywhere else. I've never heard anyone talking about it. All I hear is the same thing every time. Is this LeBron's the greatest player on earth, and that Anthony Davis is unbelievable, blah, blah, blah. And I say the same thing every game. If he has 30-plus, they're unbeatable. If both of them go 30 and 20, no one can beat him ever. But the thing that I say to you all the time is that they cry more than any team I have ever watched in my life, manipulating the refs and screaming and yelling at refs and questioning every single whistle. They have a conniption. They absolutely argue every call, whether it's good or not. And then Vogel, I see him, he's literally doing cartwheels on the sideline looking for calls. I would have teched him up already. They cry more than any team I've ever seen in my life. You can't even argue it. It's not even, and I think it's a manipulation of the refs. I think it's LeBron working the refs better than Vogel could ever dream of doing it. But LeBron works them. He jimmies the refs the whole game. Like every single whistle, it's the end of the world for LeBron. He's just absolutely having a conniption every single call. Am I wrong, Carver High?
No, I was just watching it. There was a like 2 or 3 minute stretch where LeBron came down, 2 or 3 times down the court, and he was yelling and screaming at the refs on everything. Now, one, I thought they called a foul on him. I thought it was a pretty clean block he had on Butler. They called a foul. And then every other time, the entire Laker bench is jumping up in the air for fouls every single time down the floor. I'm with you. I think that it's like an intimidation thing. I think that LeBron is just trying to bully the refs. That's what I think it comes down to get more calls later on.
All right, so I don't know what he has now. I just saw him hit a free throw. He's either got like 14 or 15, Davis. That's what he had in game 3, and everybody said it was such a horrible performance. He's doing the same thing tonight.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Let's chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.